Hello and welcome to the Manological Podcast, Series 12, Episode 5. On this week's episode, we hear about World Book Day at Manolodge, along with features about TV shows Gladiators and The Rookie, children's movies, songs, singers, chocolate, sweets and Roblox. Plus, we have another very special guest for our interview this week. It is with acclaimed children's author Camilla Chester, who visited us especially for the podcast. Let's kick things off with World Book Day. Here is Alexa from Year 4 to tell us about some of the costumes of this year's event.
Hi, my name's Alexa, and today I'm going to talk to you about 10 People's World Book Day characters. Number 1, Ava in 4C was Gangster Granny. Number 2, Sienna in 4J was Elsa. Number 3, Ohana in 4C was Pippi Longstocking. Number 4, Orohi in RSH was Little Red Riding Hood. Number 5, Reese in RMA was Woody. Number 6, Rian in 1RI was Corella Who Can. Number 7, Iman in 4K was Clarice. Number 8, Eloise in 4C was Alice in Wonderland. Number 9, Sienna in 4C was Florence Nightingale. Number 10, I was Dorothy. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye.
Now, Gladiators has made a number of appearances on our podcast this term, but there's always room for one more. So here is Ahana to tell us about her Gladiators survey.
Hi, my name is Ahana, and today I'm going to tell you about people's favourite Gladiators, girl and boy. Number one is Alexa. Alexa's boy is Nitro, and her girl is Dynamite. Those are mine too. Number two is Iman. Iman's boy is Nitro, and her girl is Athena. I like Athena as well. Number 3 is Ava. Ava's favourite boy is Legend, and girl is Dynamite. I also like Dynamite because she's really cute. Number 4, Rian. Rian's favourite boy is Giant, and his girl is Athena. Number 5, Bobby. Bobby's favourite boy is Legend, and his favourite girl is Electro. Number 6, Anissa. Anissa's favourite boy is Legend, and her girl is Dynamite. Now I will tell you my decision for the last this or that. Mine was a mix between Podcast Club or Computing. And this podcast one is Cafe or Lunch Hall Food.
Sticking with the TV theme, Bobby in Year 5 was very keen to tell us about a particular favourite of his, American police series The Rookie.
Hi, I'm Bobby, and today I'm going to be talking about The Rookie. Just before we start, The Rookie is a programme on Sky Witness. The plot of The Rookie. The series follows John Nolan, a 40-year-old newly divorced man from Pennsylvania, who 9 months after helping police officers during a bank robbery in his hometown, Foxburg, moves to Los Angeles to pursue a new career as a police officer in the LAPD. Season 8 has just come out, and in the first episode, the LAPD, FBI and Interpol work with Monica and Stevens in Prague to target high-value terrorists. Lucy Chen and Tim Bradford decide to move in together in this episode, while Selena Hawes invites Miles Penn to become her new roommate. This is the first episode where Miles Penn appears as a main character. Miles earned his short sleeves off-screen. All of the names that I've just said are all characters in the programme. The main characters. The main characters are Lucy Chen, Tim Bradford, John Nolan, Nyla Harper, Wade Gray, Monica Stevens, Angela Lopez, and Wesley Evers. But there are many more. And just some fun facts. You can watch all available episodes on Sky Witness. The Rookie is a thrilling and exciting programme, with each episode being action-packed. So far, we have had a few episodes of the Season 8. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye!
Next, here are Sienna and Ava from Year 4 with their top sweets.
Hello, my name is Sienna.
And I am Ava.
Today we are telling you about the top 20 sweets.
Number 1, Mauams. Sometimes sweet, sometimes sour.
Number 2, Fizzy Cola Bottles. A top pick and mix choice with sour sugar coating.
Number 3. Giant strawberries, a popular tart and fruity gummy sweet.
Number 4. Rhubarb and custard, classic hard-boiled sweets with a tangy and creamy flavour.
Number 5. Bob's Sour Skulls, a popular tangy and chewy sour sweet.
Number 6. Black Jacks, chewy Ains-flavoured traditional sweets.
Number 7. Fruit salads, chewy fruity sweets, often paired with Black Jacks.
Number 8. Apple Bonbons, sour chewy apple-flavoured treats.
Number 9. Foam Bananas, soft sweet and classic confections.
Number 10. Jelly Tots, amazing and sour sweets.
Number 11. Fruit Gums. Fruit Gums are not sour, but they are delicious.
Number 12. Love Hearts. Love Hearts have a little images and they are very cute and also sugary.
Number 13. Haribo is like the best and has such a nice flavour.
Number 14. Lemon sherbets are sweet and exploded your mouth.
Number 15. Pear drops are amazingly sugary and delightful to eat.
Number 16. Turkish Delight. They are extremely sweet and chewy.
Number 17. Jelly Babies. Soft, chewy texture and popular in Great Britain.
Number 18. Cola Cubes. They are amazing and delicious.
Number 19. Dame Bars. Dame Bars are iconic Swedish confectionery featuring a crunchy almond caramel centre coated in smooth milk chocolate.
And our final one is Fruit Pastels. They are sugary, sour and always have an amazing flavour.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast.
Don't forget to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends.
Bye!
Bye!
More sweet treats now. Layla, Sophie, Idris and Anissa have their top chocolate brands.
Hello!
My name is Anissa.
My name is Idris.
My name is Sophie.
And my name is Layla.
And today we are going to be rating our favourite chocolate brands in our opinion.
Number 12. Feastables. Feastables is a rapidly growing snack company created by YouTube star Jimmy Donaldson, widely known as Mr. Beast. Launched in January 2022, the brand focuses on producing chocolate bars, gummies and cookies with high quality, simple ingredients. Feastables are marketed as a cleaner, better for you chocolate bar with simple, high quality ingredients. It's 4 stars out of 5.
Number 11. Toblerone. Toblerone is an iconic Swiss milk chocolate brand established in 1908, renowned for its unique triangular shape inspired by the Matterhorn Mountain. It is owned by Mondelez International and features a distinctive mix of Swiss milk chocolate, honey and almond nougat. It is 3 stars out of 5.
Number 10. Maltesers. Maltesers are a delicious honeycomb spheres covered in a creamy layer of milk chocolate. There are 187 million packs sold annually in the UK. They consist of a crispy, airy, malted milk centre. In 1937, their original name was Energy Balls. Maltesers is the 4th best chocolate in the world. In my opinion, they are a 5 out of 5.
Number 9. Ferrero Rocher. Ferrero Rocher, created in 1982 in Alba, Italy by Michel Ferrero. Ferrero Rocher is a premium chocolate hazelnut praline known for its distinctive golden wrapper and multi-layered texture. It is 4 stars out of 5.
Number 8. Dubai Chocolate. The real brand who made it was called Fix. Dubai Chocolate is a viral thick chocolate bar featuring crunchy filling, pistachio cream and filo pastry mixed with tahini. Dubai Chocolate was first released in 2022 by the Dubai-based online shop Fix Dessert Chocolatier under the name Can't Get Canafe of it. It is 3 stars out of 5.
Number 7. Kit Kat. Kit Kat, created in 1935 in the UK, it is an iconic chocolate-covered wafer bar famously marketed with the slogan Have a Break, Have a Kit Kat since 1958. It is one of the world's most popular snacks, with over 17 billion fingers produced annually. Out of 5 stars, it is 4.
Number 6. Kinder. Kinder is a popular brand for chocolate. The brand is known for its milk chocolate treats, including the iconic Kinder Surprise and Kinder Joy, with over 100 new toys annually. It is the 2nd largest chocolate brand globally, sold in 170 countries.
Next, M&M's, created in 1941 by Forrest Mars Sr. and Bruce Murray, were designed as a heat-resistance, candy-coated chocolate for soldiers. The name stands for Mars and Murray. Initially sold in cardboard tubes, they became famous for the slogan, "Melt in your mouth, not in your hand."
Now for the last one.
Cadbury!
Cadbury was founded in 1824 in Birmingham, England, by John Cadbury, 1801 to 1889, a Quaker who sold tea, coffee and drinking chocolate. Cadbury developed a business with his brother Benjamin, is a brand which was made in 1824. It is one of the most famous brands in the world.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. And remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye.
On to music next. Here is Aman from Year 4 with her favourite songs.
Hello, my name is Aman and today I'll be telling you about my top 10 favourite songs. Dance the Night Away by Dua Lipa is number 10. This also appears in the Barbie movie and reaches number 3 in Australia, number 4 in Canada, and peaked at number 6 on the US Billboard Hot 100. New Rules, also by Dua Lipa, is number 9. It reached number 1 on the UK Singles Chart in August 2017, becoming her first chart-topping single there. Fate of Ophelia by Taylor Swift is number 8. The Fate of Ophelia is the lead single from Taylor Swift's 12th studio album, The Life of a Showgirl, released on October 3rd, 2025, through Republic Records. Number 7. Senorita by Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello. Senorita is a 2019 Latin pop duet released in June 21, 2019, on Island Records. Number 6. Ordinary by Alex Warren. Ordinary is a 2025 chamber pop love song by American singer-songwriter Alex Warren, released on February 7th, 2025 via Atlantic Records. Number 5. Made You Look by Meghan Trainor. It is a high-energy pop song released on October 31, 2022, as the second single from her 2022 album Taking It Back. Number 4. Houdini by Dua Lipa. It serves as the lead single for her 2024 album Radical Optimism, with lyrics focused on knowing one's worth and having the confidence to leave a situation that no longer serves you. Number 3. Vampire by Olivia Rodrigo. Vampire is a critically acclaimed 2023 gothic pop rock hit by Olivia Rodrigo, released as the lead single from her second album, Guts, on June 30, 2023. The song was co-written and produced with Dan Nigro. 2. Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo as well. Good For You is a 2021 pop punk and alt rock song by Olivia Rodrigo, released as the third single from her debut album, Sour. Written by Rodrigo and producer Dan Nigro again, it became a global number one hit. And finally, number one, my favourite song, Traitor by Olivia Rodrigo again. Traitor is a ballad by Olivia Rodrigo, released on August 10th, 2021, as the fourth single from her debut album, Sour. Written by Olivia Rodrigo and producer Dan Nigro, the song blends indie pop and soft rock, focusing on the pain of an ex moving on quickly. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye!
Over to Alexa from Year 4 now with her top singers.
Hi, my name is Alexa and today I'm going to tell you about the top 5 singers. Number 1, Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin was an iconic American singer-songwriter and pianist dubbed the Queen of Soul, known for her powerful 4-octave voice. She rose to fame in the late 1960s with hits like Respect and Natural Woman. She was trailblazing She was a trailblazing artist, winning 18 Grammy Awards and becoming the first woman inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Number 2. Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston was an iconic American singer, actress, and producer known as The Voice. Celebrated for her unparalleled vocal talent, powerful house ballads, and immense influence on pop and R&B music. As one of the best-selling artists of all time, she broke records with hits like I Will Always Love You and starred in The Bodyguard. Number 3. Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke was a pioneering American singer-songwriter and an interpreter hailed as the king of soul for hits like You Send Me and A Change Is Gonna Come. He bridged gospel and 1960s R&B, becoming one of the first black artists to control his own publishing and record label. Cooke died at age 33 in a controversial shooting. Number 4. Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey is an iconic American singer-songwriter, producer, and actress, renowned for her 5-octave vocal range, whistle register, and massive holiday success. Known as the Queen of Christmas, she sold over 200 million records with hits like Vision of Love and All I Want for Christmas Is You. Number 5. Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder was nominated for one Academy Award with one win. Born prematurely, doctors believe he was blind when he was accidentally given too much oxygen by his incubator. Learned to play piano, drums, and a harmonica by his first stage was Little Stevie Wonder. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye.
Now, Louis in Year 5 has a feature about the top games on Roblox.
Hello, I'm Louis, and I'm in Year 5. And here are the top 10 Roblox games as of February 2026. Number 1, Fish It. Currently, a top performing fishing and simulation game with over 470,000 concurrent users. Number 2, Blocked Fruits. A consistent giant in action RPG inspired by One Piece with over 400,000 active players. Number 3, Brookhaven RP. The reigning champion of city roleplay, maintaining high engagement with 270,000 active users. Number 4. 99 Nights in the Forest. A viral survival exploration game that gained massive popularity last year. Number 5. Escape Tsunami for Brain Rots. A viral obstacle survival experience showing extremely high trendy active player counts. Number 6. Rivals. A highly competitive shooter action game with over 200,000 active users. Number 7. Adopt Me. A timeless, top-rated pet adoption and roleplay simulator with millions of loyal players. Number 8. Jujutsu Shenanigans. A top action fighting game based on the anime Jujutsu Kaisen. Number 9. Garden Horizons. A fast-growing social farming simulation game. Number 10. Beast Swarm Simulator. A classic, beloved simulator that remains the top charts for active users. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. And remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye!
Next, we have Otto from Year 6 to tell us about some recommended children's movies.
Hello. Today, I will be talking to you about the top 5 movies for children in most least watched order. At number 1 is The Wizard of Oz. This magical film is about a girl called Dorothy travelling to the Emerald City and what trouble she has along the way. Number 2, Toy Story. This is about toys coming to life and is normally considered an adventure movie. Number 3, E.T. an older movie. It's about an alien falling to Earth and befriending a young boy and trying to get back home. Number four, The Incredibles. This movie is about a family with superpowers and all of the chaos they run into. And finally, five, Pinocchio. This kids' movie is about a wooden horse, about a wooden boy whose nose gets longer with every lie. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like and subscribe.
We round things off with our interview for this episode. We were delighted to be joined by children's author Camilla Chester. Here's what she spoke about when she met Layla, Ethan and Ava.
Hello and welcome to the Manilog School Podcast.
Hi, my name is Ava.
My name is Ethan.
And my name is Layla.
And today we have a special guest. The author
is
Camilla Chester.
For those of you who don't know, Camilla Chester is a children's author.
So far, she has published four amazing books.
And they are aimed at children roughly between 8 and 12 years old. Hello, Camilla. It's lovely to meet you. Thank you for coming in for us to interview you today.
That's an absolute pleasure. It's lovely to be asked.
We have some questions to ask you.
Goody. Good.
First of all, could you tell us a bit about when you were our age? Where did you grow up and were you always a good writer?
Oh, thank you for calling me a good writer. I love a compliment. So let me cast my mind back all the years for when I was your age. I grew up, I was born in Aberdeen actually in Scotland, but I didn't live there very long. And then I spent the first 7 years living in Winchester, which is much further south, so like the other side of London, quite near the coast. And then I moved to Norwich. So I really grew up most of my time in Norwich. And I always wanted to be an author. So I used to write stories. As soon as I could write, I've always written stories. And before I could write, I was a storyteller. So I used to tell stories so that I didn't have to go to bed. So to try and entertain everyone. So it would stop them from sending me to bed.
What was your journey to becoming a writer? What inspired you?
Well, I often get asked what inspired me to be a writer, and it's not that kind of thing inspired me. How I think about people is that we're like jigsaw puzzles, and there's lots of different pieces that make us up who we are. And one of my big jigsaw puzzle pieces is writing. And unless I'm doing that, I feel like I've got a hole, like I'm not quite complete, I'm not a complete puzzle picture. So it's not like it inspired me, it's like part of who I am, really. And my journey to being a writer, well, getting published is your ultimate aim as a writer. You would love, you know, to see your books is amazing, and to hold your books and to have other people read your books is your ultimate aim. And it took many years before that happened. So I was writing and learning the craft and still am. And it took a long time before that actually became a reality for me. So it's a question of perseverance, it's a question of just keeping going with something that you love and keeping learning as much as you can and improving. And eventually your time will come and you'll get published.
Thank you. Can you tell us a bit about each of your books? Do you have a favourite?
I do have a favourite book. My favourite book is Call Me Lion. And the reason it's my favourite book is because it was twofold, really. It was a big changing point in my career, because before that point I was what we call self-published, which means where you go to a publisher with your work and you pay to have it published. So that's pretty much what self-publishing means. Whereas with Call Me Lion was my first traditionally published book, which a publisher is a company that makes your manuscript, your document, into an actual book. There's a product that you can sell. So that's what a publisher does. Not everybody knows. You will sort of assume that everyone knows what a publisher is. And that is really their job, is to create and sell books. And with traditional publishing, the publisher pays you, as the creator of the book, and of the words, for the right to be able to make it into a book. So it's much better deal, obviously, to get a traditional publishing deal than self-published. It's much harder to get traditionally published. So Call Me Lime is my first traditionally published book, but it's also the book that I think has got the most love and compassion in it and does the most good in the world, because it's all about a boy who can't speak. And I think it gives a voice to those children, those children that are unable to speak for themselves. So, and we are, as readers, we can understand what it feels like to be in his position. But I have got other books, and they all have a special place in my heart. So my first book was Jarred Dreams, which is now out of print, so it's not available. So you're right to say I've got four published books at the moment. And then I had Eats, which is like a Roald Dahl-y style story about cooking and two boys that win a cooking contest. And I also have a book called 13th Wish, which is an adventure story. And lots of magical things happen. It's an out-of-world story adventure. And then my latest book is Project Pony, which is about a girl who dreams of having her own pony and goes on an Own Your Own Pony Adventure Week. It doesn't turn out quite the way that she expected. So those are my books, and I'm very proud of all of them.
Is there any reason why your book didn't carry on getting published?
Oh, the Jarred Dreams one. So that was a self-published book. So in theory, I could still continue with that. But I think sometimes each book has its time and has its place, and it might be something that I return to later on, and I may decide to rewrite it and republish it. But at the moment, I think it's there's a few out in the world, and those children who have that should hang on to it, because they're the original books, and they won't be like that ever again. So I think it's quite special that it's got a unique number in the world, and it's not going to go on and on. And some books are like that, and some books are books that can keep being published. I think Call Me Lion is a book that will continue to be published, and I'm lucky that it's available in lots of different languages. But Jarred Dreams had its time. It's a very spooky adventure story about a ghoul who steals children's dreams and puts them in jars. So it's quite a creepy, dark story. So quite different to my other stuff.
Does Project Pony come from you having a pony of your own? Or do you have any other pets?
I do actually have a horse of my own now. I am like very much like Natalie in Project Pony, and I was desperate for my own horse. And I owned a pony for a very, very short time in my teens, but she sadly died, and it put me off. And then in my whole life, I've wanted my own, but I've never really been in a position to have my own. But I have just recently adopted a horse that's an ex-racehorse, an ex-trotter. Called Day, as in daytime, and he's beautiful, and I'm really, really pleased I've got him. But before that, I used to ride someone else's horse called Turco, and in Project Pony, there's a cheeky, mischievous pony called Loki, which is the name of the god of mischief, as you probably know. And he's all kinds of cheekiness and very, very greedy. And his character is based on Turco, which is the pony I rode before I got my own. Unfortunately, Turco's got very, very old now, and he's too old to be ridden. We still got him, but he's there as a companion horse. Yeah.
Where do you get the ideas for your stories?
Well, it's a combination of living my life generally, really, and things that I come across in my life that niggle at me and want to be told as a story. So, for example, the book that I've got coming out next year with the same publisher, with Firefly Press, is a story all about my daughter who got diagnosed as autistic. And I fictionalised our life and I fictionalised our family. But it's the sort of, and I've made her much younger, because Sasha was actually 16 when she was diagnosed, but I've made her 10. And I've told the story as if in a sort of made up story, but it's based in the real life of what it was like to go through that experience and what a profound effect it had on all of us in the family, and what effect it's had on her friendships and her school life and things. And so that's kind of how I work. I do take snippets from my own life and they find their way into my books. For example, in Call Me Lion, the main characters are really love dancing. And I love dancing. So all the stuff about dancing is true because I know what it's like to be in a dance class and I know what it's like to do different dance steps and that sort of stuff. So the details are often from real life, but it may be based on a character or a story idea that I've had from my imagination as well. Yeah.
What's that book called and when's it going to be published?
So it's interesting you should ask that because the title, I had a title called Normal Definitely for it, but the publisher wants to change the title, but they haven't told me what title they want. So I'm currently playing around with different title ideas. So the main character is called January, like the month, and her brothers and sisters all have names from months of the year. And so I'm playing around with the idea that I could put January in the title. And it's also, the family have lots of dogs. It's a kennels, and they keep dogs. And so there must be something about dogs and January that I can get in the title, like January's Dogs, or A Dog for January, or something like that. So yeah, any ideas, send them my way.
Have you had a love for animals when you were growing up?
Always love animals. Do you like animals? Yeah. I love animals. I think you get something really special from animals. That you could be having a really rubbish day and then I see my horse or I have my dog. I've also got a cat. And I just get so much joy and pleasure from them. And they're just always funny and loving. And I think the responsibility of taking care of an animal as well teaches you so much. So animals often creep their way into my books because they've been such a huge part of my life, all my life.
If you weren't a writer, what other job would you do?
I don't know really. I did train originally as a teacher, but it didn't really suit me. So I didn't continue with that training. I think I would definitely do something with people or potentially with animals. I probably would be something like a vet nurse, something like that maybe. Yeah.
What about a zookeeper?
Yeah, do you know what? I'd love to be a zookeeper. I think that would be an awesome job. I did once go on with me and Sasha actually. She had a day being the zookeeper in London Zoo. You can get these little days. We did it for her birthday as a treat. And I think I enjoyed it. Pretty much the same amount as Sasha, if not maybe even more. You get to do all these amazing things with all the different animals. It's a really lovely thing to do, actually, if you get a chance to do it. Be a zookeeper for a day.
Do you have any other interests or hobbies aside from writing?
Well, I mentioned dancing, and obviously because I have day, I go horse riding as well. And obviously I love reading. Because that just, I do it for pleasure, not just for work, because I think I just love reading lots of different things, not just similar books that I produce, but I do it for a technique as well, so that I have a little tip for budding writers, which is write like a reader and read like a writer, so that when you're reading, if you can have your writer's hat on and think about how the writer's using different techniques, and styles and stuff to tell their story. And then when you're writing, if you can try and write as freely as possible, as if you're reading a book, and allow yourself that freedom of just going for it. I think it's really good, and I follow my own advice. So I often read with my writer's hat on and think, oh, that's a really good text. It's really clever how they've done this and this and this, and then it helps my own writing.
So you write in a book when you find good pieces of vocabulary?
Yeah, well, it's not always vocabulary. Sometimes it's like sort of techniques, you know, like ways that they've done different things. And so often I will analyse a book that I've really enjoyed or I've not enjoyed to why I've really enjoyed it and why I've not enjoyed it. So it's like almost like giving it a review so that I can then, when I come to do my own writing, I can think what works for me as a reader and what doesn't work for me as a reader. So it's a really good technique. So all those book reviews and things that you do at school are always really useful for your own writing, because it just helps you have that focus on your own writing.
Do you have any advice for young authors?
Well, my advice for young authors is to be open to feedback. So often what I see is that people think they've finished and they think because they've finished the sentence and they've put their last full stop there that the piece is done. And actually most writing is rewriting. We spend a lot of time as writers redrafting and rewriting things. So my advice really is being open to feedback. So if you think something's finished, first thing to do is to read it out loud. You can read it out loud to yourself, and if ideally do something like this and record it and listen back. That's what I do often with my work, and then I spot things I haven't spotted because I'm quite audio person, so this is perfect for me. So I often spot things that I haven't spotted, and I can then go back and amend them. When you feel like you've done everything you can for you, then share it with someone that you trust that will give you an honest opinion on it, okay? So somebody won't just tell you, it's brilliant, that's amazing. You want someone to say, do you know what? It would be better maybe if I was doing this, I might do this or I might do that. Or I'm not quite sure about that. What do you mean about this? And being open to that and think, not being too sort of like, but it's my piece of writing and this is what I want. Because often the trick is basically what you've got in your brain and what you want to show doesn't always come across on the paper. And that is what writing is. It's making the vision that you've got going on, the story, the characters and everything you've got going on in your brain, be there on the page. And what you think has happened may not be what has happened when a reader comes to look at it, because we're all coming in with our own eyes. So I think it's about being open to what a reader tells you about what they see on the page, and then going, okay, let's have a look and see how we might be able to change that and make it better.
I have read some of your amazing books, Camilla,
Thank you.
You can find them in the purple section in our library.
Excellent. Yeah, I've actually done a visit to your school before, so it's been really wonderful to come back today. You have a wonderful librarian here, and you've got some amazing books, and I feel very, very honoured to be part of your book collection in your fabulous library here at your school.
Thank you for coming to Mallow Lodge School, Camilla, and letting us interview you. It's been really interesting and insightful.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I've enjoyed it.
Bye.
Bye.
An absolute pleasure having Camilla join us on the podcast, and a pleasure having you listen too. We'll be back next week with one final episode of this current series, so we look forward to speaking to you then. The music you heard at the start of the podcast was a piece of music created on GarageBand by Sophie in Year 6, and now to close the show, here is a piece created on Incredibox by Ethan in Year 5.